Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron. And today we are talking game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Corey, how are we today?
Hold my beer. I'm going to have to go in on this one.
Yeah, this was an interesting game that obviously I don't think many people expected at all. Maybe some Boston homers, but 108-83, Celtics win game one. Not a good performance from the Cavs and maybe one of the best performances from the Celtics this postseason. But before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can catch all of our game recaps. We're going to be recapping the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, all on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play. But Corey, what were your thoughts on game one? Just like your initial reaction, seeing the score and everything that happened this one.
I mean, stunned by the lack of effort from the Cavs, the disengagement. What was it, 29-9, the initial start? They just look flat. And, you know, I always love those NBA videos they put out beforehand when, like, LeBron's stretching and he goes, you know, LeBron's locked in, ready to go. I mean, he wasn't ready to go. I mean, you can just look at the box score and see that there was no Cavalier ready to go. The Celtics, you know, they're coming off a lot of momentum. Obviously, they were – you know, they were favored, I think, over the Bucks, but they were underdogs to the Sixers. They're underdogs by a point and a half in this game one. And, you know, they came out firing all cylinders.
Yeah, I think the energy and the effort level was something you noticed right from the first quarter. You mentioned it, you know, a big change in the first quarter, 36-18. Anytime you start a game with a big lead like that for a young team like the Celtics, being probably the underdog in the series, you know, some people have them as the favorite, but, you know, we'll see what happens. 36-18 is a big jump. And you could see off the initial first couple possessions, even the some of the possessions the Cavs scored on, Boston was getting their hands in there, deflection, tips, some tough shots. And then on the Cavs side, you know, not only was the effort bad, but the engagement wasn't great. They were missing wide open shots. Shooting wise, it was a pretty pitiful performance. You know, 36% from the field, 15% from three, 4 of 26. Kind of reminds you a little bit of game one of the Pacers series, but probably a little worse on the Cavs end.
Yeah, I think what stood out the most is the fact that obviously, like, the role players for Cleveland, we know they're inconsistent. You know, we know J.R. Smith going for 2 for 9 isn't out of the realm of possibilities. We know he's streaky. Kevin Love obviously has had his struggles. So him going 5 for 14 isn't a struggle. The eye popping thing is LeBron going 5 for 16, 0 for 5 from three, and having 7 turnovers. You know, that's something we haven't really seen from LeBron all postseason. Even on games where the Cavs have lost to the Pacers, you know, LeBron for the most part still got his. This was the first time we've seen LeBron, you know, truly struggle in a postseason game this year.
And his energy and effort level wasn't very high. And that's not something you usually say about LeBron. You know, sometimes he gets lazy on transition defense. But overall, offensively, there was a play where Marcus Smart just kind of like was defending him and LeBron almost let him steal the ball. Like, yeah. There was a couple plays where you saw LeBron and it was just like, you know, this is not something we're accustomed to seeing. Then there was other plays where he showed the flashes. I think in the first half, he drove on Semi Ojeleye, gave him like a body real quick, got the lay-in. But you really didn't see much of that. So how much do you think that was the Celtics defense or just LeBron, you know, not being all there today?
I mean, I have to give some credit to the Celtics defense. I mean, right from the jump, Marcus Morris was being extremely physical with them. You know, they threw a lot of different guys at him. It wasn't just Marcus Morris, but they threw a lot of guys at him. They gave him a ton of different looks. You know, Jaylen Brown got some time on him. Marcus Smart got some time. Al Horford, you know, and everyone played him very physical. And, you know, plus being a little sloppy, everybody else, I don't know. I think LeBron was kind of just caught off guard to a degree, which is something you just don't see often.
Yeah, he was a little bit off guard. The effort wasn't all there. And like you said, Celtics D, not only were the defenders physical and up in his face, they didn't really allow him to relax. But similar to the Pacers series, it looked like all five Celtics were keyed in on LeBron. You know, it always felt like somebody was coming over for the help and LeBron had to watch his six at all times. And they really forced the other Cavs to beat them, which, you know, doesn't always work when they, you know, and they're hitting their shots. But today, when they were ice cold, it looked like the perfect game plan.
Yeah, and we also saw LeBron have a team worst plus minus of minus 32, I believe.
Yeah, which is one of the rarest things you might ever see.
Worst plus minus ever in the playoffs, if I saw a tweet right at the end. So that's just something we, you know, LeBron's just, he just struggled, you know, and I don't see him having this kind of performance in game two. I think it's one of those games where he just struggled, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see it again in the rest of the series. But Brad Stevens and company did a tremendous job locking him down.
Yeah, and it's going to be not only up to LeBron to play better, but I think a lot of it's going to be on his teammates to hit their shots. Just to start off the game in the first quarter, I want to say Kyle Korver missed two wide-open threes. JR missed a wide-open shot. You know, guys need to hit their wide-open shot so it can take some pressure off LeBron. If they're not hitting anything, like I said, 4 of 26 from three is giving him zero spacing and allowing guys like Al Horford to come with the help, Aaron Baines to come with the help, and that's something that's going to make LeBron's life a lot more difficult in the rest of the series if no one's going to hit their shots.
Yeah, and in the second half, too, we saw LeBron starting to settle for some three-pointers. And I didn't even know this till someone tweeted the stat. He's shooting 26.3% from three this postseason. He's been throwing up these huge numbers. I had no idea he was shooting this poorly from three.
Yeah, I knew it was in the high 20s, and it's weird because the regular season, it felt like he was kind of coming on from three, hitting a lot of clutch threes, especially on that left side around the wing area. And now in the postseason, he's been kind of ice cold. He's also gone to this fadeaway jump shot a little bit more than we're accustomed to, and that's not something you want him to get into habit in, especially, you know, getting to the free throw line is important. And I think, you know, one thing we saw in this game one, the one-on-one defense from each side was completely different. Where the Celtics were able to kind of, you know, win some one-on-ones defensively, on the Cavs side, it felt like every Celtics player was dusting every Cavs player and getting in the paint. Getting paint touches was not hard for the Celtics at all in this game.
No. You mentioned the one-on-one. This was the first time in a while, too, I was watching the Cavs. They played a ton of isolation today. The ball movement, the differential between the Celtics and Cavs was night and day. You know, the Celtics, everyone was moving, you know, constant flow in the offense, ball flying around. And on the Cavs side, I felt like everyone was, you know, a one or two passes and then trying to make a play. It wasn't a collective team effort at all.
Yeah, it wasn't a collective team effort. You know, the Cavs were trying to get some of their mismatches. They weren't able to capitalize on them. And even when the Celtics got into the one-on-ones, they were dominating. Jaylen Brown couldn't really be defended by anybody on the Cavs today. Al Horford didn't miss a shot. Talking about that, who was the most impressive Celtics for you today? You know, which guys really stuck out?
I think for me, it's got to be Al Horford. 24-6, two blocks, 8-for-10 from the field, plus 17. Stands out to me about Horford is the fact that on defense too, he is, you know, he's their anchor. Someone else mentioned it. I think it was Justin Jett. He's kind of like Draymond Green. He's always talking on defense. He's always pointing out everything he sees. And I think that's huge, especially because we know the Celtics team is extremely young. You know, they mentioned a stat that LeBron has more playoff game experience than the Celtics roster combined. So this is a very, you know, young, unproven team. And, you know, they're just flourishing. And Al Horford, to me, is that, you know, the veteran presence there. He leads the way. He's class personified. And his, you know, that start, what do you have, 14 points on 5 of 5 shooting or 6 for 6 to start. You know, he was just on fire. And I think that just really set the tempo.
Yeah, he really did set the tempo. And like you said, Justin Jett mentioned Draymond Green being a comparison in the sense that Al Horford is that anchor for the defense. He's just not quite as loud and doesn't get as many techs, so people don't notice and they complain about his contract. But for me, I'm going to go with another Celtics. I thought Jaylen Brown did a great job kind of being aggressive from the start, setting the mentality for the team, not only offensively, but defensively. There was one possession in the first half that really stuck out to me. Al Horford was coming over for some help on Jaylen Brown versus Kevin Love in the post. Brown pushed him away and said, "I got this." Next play, Love misses the layup. Another play further down the line, Jaylen Brown got a block on Kevin Love in the post. You know, if Jaylen Brown's going to play like this and get in the paint, he was 3 of 5 from three, kind of set this mentality for the team. It's exactly what they need for this young player.
Yeah, and also I have to give a shout-out to Jason Tatum. A team-high plus 27, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. And that three-pointer he had against J.R. Smith where he had, you know, very little room to operate and he drained that right in his face. For a 20-year-old, you know, that kid is for real. I can't wait to see how his game develops. But no one on this unlike last series where the Raptors looked shook against the Cavs, this Celtics team does not give a damn who they're playing against.
Like you said, Al Horford set the tone too.
Yeah.
It's just having these guys, and like you said, Jason Tatum pulling up from three, hitting that shot. I felt like he was a little bit quiet in the first quarter, but then got into his groove. And his length and wingspan, I think, is going to be an issue for some of the Cavs' wings because they're not super big or super tall. And Jason Tatum obviously has a nice length and handle the ball and doesn't mind shooting over the top of people. Anybody else stick out for you? Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart, defensively, you could always feel his presence. You know, he had a nice steal, you mentioned earlier, on LeBron. You know, in 24 minutes, he still was a plus 16, so he played well. I think what stands out to me, too, is the fact that, you know, like Terry Rozier has been a big part of their offense, and he had a very poor night tonight shooting-wise. You know, obviously he still had 8 assists, but he was 4 for 10 shooting, and he didn't look his best offensively. And you have to think, if you're the Celtics fan, you got to feel pretty good about that, because he's been one of your, you know, top three offensive options, you know, in the postseason, and he's struggling, you know, this first game. I just like it. I think the Celtics are in a really good place after winning this game.
And I think it helps, you know, getting back on that point, being the young team, winning game one in this fashion gives them a lot of confidence. Already kind of buying into that underdog mentality, I think it's good for them. On the Cavs side, you know, really, is there anybody that stuck out and had a positive game?
No one had a good game. But what I can say is in the 18 minutes that Rodney Hood was out there, he looked aggressive. You know,
5 of 12.
Yeah, he shot 41%. Tristan Thompson, too, actually. They underutilized him this game. You know, in 20 minutes, he had 8 points, 11 rebounds. I actually liked the way the team was moving when he was on the floor. He was just being really tenacious on the boards, which is something I think they kind of lacked, especially in this game. The rebounding was 40 to 48. But those two guys, to me, were the only, you know, somewhat bright spots. You know, Ronnie Hood obviously denied coming into the game four and against the Raptors. He played a solid game tonight, and then Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I think Hood's a guy it's really you want to keep an eye on, because he can actually play some defense and match up with these wings a little bit. So if they could get a positive offensive output from him, it'd be huge. And I think Tristan Thompson had a solid game. You know, I felt him when he was in the game. He got in there. He was active on the boards. He felt like he was the only Cav really going for offensive rebounds. And he always plays with some decent energy. So he's a guy, I think, you know, got 20 minutes tonight. Obviously, we'll talk about adjustments a little later. But I'd like to see his minutes pick up in the series.
I think they're going to need to if they're going to match, you know. I like Kevin Love at the center position, but it's still not ideal. And Al Horford, you know, he really took advantage of Kevin Love several times. You know, it might have been in the first quarter where he got the ball in the low post, and he just toyed with Kevin Love for about 6 seconds till going for a reverse layup.
Yeah, he worked him to the other side of the rim. He started on one side of the rim, and he posted him up so hard he got to a reverse layup. And Love was like out of the – you know, he was out of like contesting the shot just because he just bodied him so bad. And it's not like Al Horford's the biggest dude. So, I mean, I think a little bit's just on like the Cavs and Love not having the effort down low. But worst Cav, you know, which Cav really like, it's like, damn. Give me a couple, actually. There's obviously more than one other than LeBron.
I mean, LeBron is the number one, because first off, they won't win a game if LeBron plays like this again. And LeBron can't play like this if they're going to win any game. And LeBron, you know, LeBron can't have 15 points. The last time I saw him have 15 points was in that finals against the Dallas Mavericks, where he struggled. But obviously, he was bad. Kyle Korver, you know, you mentioned it. He missed a ton of wide open threes. You know, Kyle Korver, the last two series has been basically, you know, ice in his veins. He's been hitting almost all of his threes. He's been the most consistent Cavalier. And tonight, shots just weren't falling. So he was a disappointment. And Kevin Love. We saw Kevin Love pick it up too. And actually, in the first quarter, I liked how aggressive he was.
He started off well, got to the free throw line, two
shots.
Yeah,
he was really aggressive to start. And I don't know if they just decided to stop giving him the balls. He threw up a couple bad shots, but then the offense kind of went away from him. And then, you know, late in the game, he just looked out of sorts himself. And then, of course, J.R. Smith, you know, 2 for 9. It's extremely frustrating to see him, you know, go for 6 for 6 in that game four against the Raptors. And then tonight, you know, he can't hit water. He fell out of the boat.
I think the most frustrating thing about JR is not only just a bad shooting night, but he started off cold and then he continued to take bad shots. And obviously in the past, it's something he's been able to get away with because he's been so talented and he's really been knocking it down. But this season, it hasn't been that case. And you're going to fade away, take one-legged jumpers and stuff like that. It's really not going to fly in the playoffs. And defensively, he really didn't do anything impressive. So 28 minutes almost seems like a lot for him. You know, if Rodney Hood can pick it up and, you know, play better, I would be, you know, more elected to give Hood minutes if Smith's going to take the shots that he took tonight.
For sure. It was a bad collective effort on shot selection. The Cavs really – granted, when you go down 29-9 to start, that sense of urgency kind of kicks in. So I feel like they just started hoisting up shots because they felt that sense of urgency where we got to start hitting shots. I feel like they were just forcing the shots. And another thing I want to mention, George Hill, for as good of a defender as he's been, and you mentioned you've been praising him for the last how he played, you know, that game 7 against the Pacers and last series against the Raptors. you know, they really abused him one-on-one, the Celtics, defensively. You know, they took it to him several times early in that first half.
I think what makes it so hard for the Cavs, too, is, you know, George Hill's playing one-on-one defense, and if he's not getting any help, like, most of these Cavs guys aren't going to be super plus defenders, and one of your better defenders is getting beat one-on-one, and you're not giving him any help, it's going to be a long one. Like, fact just from this game is the Celtics were able to get in the paint a ton. You know, not only just for hitting shots and points in the paint, but it just felt like every possession they were getting a paint touch. And that didn't always necessarily lead to a layup, but it did lead to an open shot. And I think the rotations for the Cavs were just really lazy at times. And that's another thing. Their defense was bad. But getting back to Korver, you know, if Korver's out there and he's only going to have 5 points and 1 of 5 from three, and he's getting eaten alive on defense by Jaylen Brown, it's tough to play him too. It's just like the Cavs have a lot of interesting choices to make moving forward if guys aren't hitting their shots. It's like, do you know, you make the hot take and you pull these guys early, or you just let them sit in there and hope that they start to heat up?
I mean, that's the struggle, right? It's one of the underlying issues with the Cavaliers is their best offensive players are their worst defensive players and vice versa. You know, there's no balance. They don't have a balance of, you know, guys who can play offense and guys who can also play defense. It's you know, you have to give up one to the other, it feels like, at times. And that's obviously something they have to address some way.
Yeah, especially when their shots aren't falling. But back to the play, LeBron, what do you think is going to change in game two for him? You know, is it going to be adjustments of them, you know, game plan wise, or it's just going to be his mentality, or a combination of both?
I think it'll be a combination of both. I mean, I don't know if you noticed it, but he was playing a lot of off ball in that first half. You know, George Hill was carrying the ball up a lot, and I get it. You know, he's a point, you know, George Hill is a point guard, so you want to give a different look, I think. But I see LeBron being extremely ball dominant in that this game too to come. I just think he has to. He needs to set a tone. We saw even, you know, those last couple of games against Toronto, you know, he wasn't aggressive to start off those games. He kind of sat back and let the offense come to him, and he kind of let everyone else get involved. And that's kind of how they try to start it off this game. But, you know, he's got to be aggressive. He's got to be the leader. He's got to be going out there with the mentality of, I'm going to get mine, and hopefully these guys can give me something else in return.
Yeah, I think game two, he's going to probably come out and try to set the tone early, you know, get to the rim and then maybe set the teammates up a little bit afterwards. But I think, you know, when the Celtics went on that first quarter run, I was expecting LeBron to take over a little bit and go on a little 10-0 run of himself, but that wasn't the case, and I think that needs to change in moving forward. And I think game plan-wise, you know, getting the ball in a little different situations, it'll help a lot. Maybe some Tristan Thompson pick and roll, but if guys are hitting their shots, hitting their threes, I can't get on it enough, it's going to change the series because the spacing is going to change. You know, no matter how good you are, if, you know, five guys are collapsing on the paint, it's going to be hard to get shots up.
I agree.
Talking about changes, what's the biggest change the Cavs need to make in game two?
I mean, we've danced around it. Points in the paint, right? You got to have some sort of rim protection. That's been one of the biggest issues for the Cavs. That's why they were linked to DeAndre Jordan most of the year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Tristan Thompson start game two, if they go with Tristan, Kevin Love, you know, that kind of formula. Because like you mentioned, you know, Jaylen Brown had like, what, eight points in the paint in that first quarter to start off. They were just feasting. You know, they got anything they wanted down low. As we mentioned, Kevin Love was getting bullied. So I think it's got to start with that. You know, you want the Celtics to be a jump shooting team, I think. I think you'll be okay if you're the Cavs, you know, letting Terry Rozier chuck up, you know, five threes and Jaylen Brown. Obviously, they've been phenomenal. But I think you'd rather have them shooting jump shots and have them getting what they can in the paint and then getting those wide open threes.
Yeah, I mean, in most nights, the Celtics aren't going to shoot 51% from the field and 36% from three unless you're giving them a lot of open looks. Maybe the three-point percentage is a lot more likable, but over 50% from the field, if you're playing mediocre defense, you should be able to kind of cut that out. You know, some of it is, you know, some of the Celtics players are playing, you know, out of their mind a little bit, which they've been doing a lot of this postseason. But, you know, an issue is definitely the paint with Tristan Thompson having a physical presence. And I think you got to take a couple charges. You know, if you're not going to have rim protection, you need to kind of force the refs to make a call in there. And then I think effort level. You know, I think the biggest thing is they need to come out and play hard. Like, this Celtics team is feisty. They're young. They're motivated. The Cavs need to realize, like, they're not going to give up this series. You're going to have to go take it from them. I think that's going to be huge. And overall effort, too, on defense. You know, rotations need to be there. One-on-one defense, you need to take some pride in keeping the guy in front of you. If you're, like you said, Corey, if you're forcing him into a jump shot or a contested jumper, you won that possession. If you're letting him get past you and get to the rim and get a layup in the paint, you know, that's not a good possession defensively.
Yeah, and also I wanted to say, you know, I just thought about this. You know, shout out to Brad Stevens too. I don't know if you remember, Marcus Morris got his second foul really early in that first quarter.
He kept him in.
And he kept him in. And, you know, that was a great decision because I don't even think Marcus Morris finished with four fouls. I think he only had three. He finished with three personal fouls. So after getting two quick ones, I think in the first 3 minutes, you know, he only had one the rest of the game. And that was crucial. That was a great decision by Brad Stevens to leave him out there.
Yeah, and what he did is he swapped him off of LeBron at that point. They did get a couple more switches on him, but they went with Jaylen Brown and they put Marcus Morris on J.R. Smith. Like we mentioned, it was ice cold, so he was able to kind of stand the floor, give some help defense in some occasions. And he also, Marcus Morris also had a very nice scoring game, 21 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. You know, that's the type of stuff that they really need from him, especially in a series like this.
Yeah, oddly enough, Marcus Morris, who was talking trash yesterday, backed it up today and actually outplayed LeBron James in game one.
Which is something very rare that we did not expect. Other adjustments you expect to see in the next game moving forward? What about, you know, the bench plays? Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, some of those guys are going to get some more burn. Is Larry Nance going to make an appearance?
I don't think Larry Nance is going to make an appearance. I don't think he's done enough to warrant an appearance. You know, even today in 4 minutes, you know, he didn't do anything special to end that game. Jordan Clarkson, you know, I did like his aggression in this game. You know, he's a very aggressive player in general. He always is looking for his own shot. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of him. Rodney Hood, I can definitely see us seeing more of him. I think they should get more of him. I liked what he had in those minutes. Obviously, you know, he still finished with a minus 8 in those 18 minutes of his. But I liked his aggression. And I think the defensive ability he has, I think that would be a plus, especially with how, obviously, we mentioned how hot the Celtics were shooting-wise this game. Yeah. And Jeff Green, too, who was really hot in the Raptors series, you know, he only saw 19 minutes tonight, which I'm not sure if there was just a, you know, they attacked the game plan differently. But I think we're going to see more Jeff Green, too, in game two.
And I'd like to see Jeff Green because he at least has some size to match up with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum a little bit, where some of, you know, a J.R. Smith or Kyle Korver is really going to be outmatched physically and lengthwise. So I agree. Rodney Hood, if he can play decent in game two and earn himself some more minutes, the only problem I have with Jordan Clarkson, like, he has a great ability to get to the rim, but he has a problem keeping his head up. It's like he's in this score mentality where he doesn't want to pass the ball. It's like a Kobe mindset, but he's not even half as talented.
Yeah, too much time to Lakers, right?
I guess, yeah, it wore off on him. Any other big rotation changes you expect to see from the Cavs? You know, how many more minutes do you think we'll see from Tristan Thompson? Only 20 minutes in game one.
I mean, I think maybe – I don't think he's going to get a ton more, but I think we'll see maybe like 25. Just, I mean, think about it. In 20 minutes, he had 8 and 11. You know, that's good. I'll take that in 20 minutes. But I just think he needs to be out there to start the game. I think it would have been a different impact if he had that energy to start off the game, especially with how we saw Al Horford bullying Kevin Love to start. Because even though, you know, Tristan Thompson isn't, you know, a tremendous defender, I think he would have been more of a challenge for Al Horford early on than Kevin Love.
Yeah, and there was a couple of rebounds that are kind of out in the open that maybe the Cavs could have grabbed offensively and defensively. I know the Celtics didn't have a lot of offensive rebounds, but they didn't really put in the effort, and I feel like Tristan Thompson was out there, he would have grabbed them. I'd like to see Thompson closer to 30 minutes than 20 minutes. I think he can have an impact, like you said, not only physically, defensively, but on the boards, getting in there, getting those tips, and the energy is important. Starting him should be something Ty Lue should consider.
Yeah, and even some rim protection. You know, they only had 3 blocks tonight. LeBron with 2 and Kyle Korver with 1. So realistically, they probably only had 2 because Kyle Korver getting 1 is, you know, that's not a likely thing to continue. I think he also can form some sort of rim protection aside from LeBron on help defense.
And we didn't even mention the fact that he's one of the best screen setters on the Cavs, so maybe opening up some more looks. I don't think the Cavs are going to shoot this bad from 3 again. It would be very unlikely for them to go 4 of 26. You know, you think about it this way. They, you know, they make 8 more threes or something like that, maybe something more like 12 of 26 or in that 10 range. It's a little bit different game, especially at halftime, because I believe they didn't hit their first three until the third quarter. And it was a Korver contested three.
Yeah. And, you know, just mentioning that third quarter, you know, that third quarter, we mentioned this on the preview. The Celtics have a tendency for their offense to go kind of cold. The third quarter was the one quarter the Celtics were rather cold in. They weren't ice cold. But they had slowed down in the Cavs. You know, they cut the lead down to what, 16 to end that quarter?
I believe 14-point game at the end of that quarter. You know, the Cavs won the third 29-17, and they showed some energy. But the best thing I think from the Celtics this entire game was how they start off the fourth, and that was an 18-4 run. And that pretty much slammed the door on any type of comeback because, say, the Cavs come out, they go on a 6-0 run, and it's an 8-point game, I think we're probably having a different discussion right now. The Celtics might have won, but it would have been a lot closer fashion than what we saw in the fourth quarter in this game.
Yeah, I mean, with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter, I was texting some buddies of mine. I was saying, this game's over. It's pretty much wrapped up. And then, you know, the end of the third, I was like, oh, wow, we got a game again. And then within, you know, 3 minutes or 4 minutes going into the fourth quarter, I was like, all right, the game's over again. You know, it was just that quick of a chain of events.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Cavs can take something positive from that. I don't think, you know, they're going to shoot and score only 20 points in a quarter again. For them, Cavs perspective, yeah, we played pretty bad. We didn't show up. In the Celtics perspective, we played really good. So that leads me to my next question. Was this the worst game the Cavs will play in the series, and is this the best game the Celtics will play in the series?
I don't know if it's the worst game the Cavs will play. Actually, this is the worst game the Cavs will play. And I mean that because I don't think LeBron will play this bad again. I'm not saying the supporting cast will play, you know, as bad as again, because they very well may. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do play bad again. But I don't see LeBron playing this poorly again. And for the Celtics, I think we're going to see this again, at least a couple more times. I think this Celtics team is really feeling themselves. You know, we mentioned how big confidence is in the NBA. The Celtics are just overflowing with confidence right now.
Now, when you say you expect to see this again, do you expect to see around the same thing or even a higher level, or this is probably like the peak best game they can play?
I think they can play better. I really do, because, you know, we saw guys like Marcus Morris having a big offensive, you know, contributing, you know, 21 points and 10 rebounds. Tatum only had 16 points. Jason Tatum has been their best offensive scorer throughout the playoffs. I definitely think their offense can pick it up to another level.
I would say I expect maybe they could play slightly better, but the 50% from the field, 36% from three, they did a great job taking care of the ball, won the battle on the boards. I think this is probably as good as they can probably play. And the Cavs, like you said, this is probably as bad as LeBron will play. The supporting cast is a different question. But if LeBron drops, you know, 28, 10, and, you know, it's not really as bad a game. So I expect I don't know if this is – do you think this will be the biggest blowout of the series, or we could see another blowout?
I mean,
a bigger blowout, actually, you know.
I mean, I'm going to say, yeah, because, I mean, the Pacers beat the Cavs by 30, and the Pacers don't have as many offensive weapons as the Celtics do. So if the Pacers can win 127-87, I don't see why the Celtics couldn't have another big offensive game. You know, we saw the 28th ranked defensive Cavaliers tonight. You know, this is the Cavaliers defense that was terrible all year. This is what we've seen. You know, if they're not clicking and they're not engaged, they can give up 20, 30 points and, you know, have a 20, 30 point deficit just like that. And this is the third game in the postseason. They've lost by 15 plus points. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another double digit loss by the Cavs.
What are your expectations for game two?
Expectations is LeBron's going to drop 40 plus. I don't know if they're going to win. It depends if anyone else wants to show up and help him. But I know for a fact LeBron's going to get his. I've watched LeBron too much and too often to see him have another bad performance like this in back-to-back games.
30-point triple-double seems like a likely scenario for game two.
I'd say, yeah, because, yeah, for sure.
If you had to pick one Cav that you need to see step up for game two, not name Kevin Love, who would it be?
I mean, it's a toss. It's got to be a shooter. So for me, it's a toss-up between Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith. You know, when the Cavs have been winning games this postseason, it's when they've had three-point shooting. And when they've been at their best, it's when Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith are hitting threes. So I think one of those guys has to be shooting, you know, above 40% from three for them to even remotely be an efficient team offensively.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably Korver or J.R. Smith hitting the shot. I'd say probably, you know, dark horse Rodney Hood. Like we mentioned, he's a guy that could possibly get into the series after not playing much. George Hill probably could pick it up a little bit too, but he's not really going to give you a ton. If I give you another dark horse, actually, I'm switching my pick completely and I changed my mind. Jeff Green. Give me Jeff Green in game two as a guy that needs to step and have big minutes. 19 minutes, like I said, I like his versatility defensively. If he can knock down the three ball, he's also proven, even against the Celtics this year, he's had a couple big dunks off of cuts when they've double-teamed LeBron. So he seems to have a little bit of an understanding. I think Jeff Green really needs to pick it up. And that's, you know, something that's been said about Jeff Green his whole career.
Yeah, right.
On the Celtics side, what do you think needs to change for game two, if anything, or just kind of come out with the same game plan and just react to what the Cavs do?
I think you just play your game. I just I don't think you worry about it. I think what you do the same thing. You play, you give LeBron a ton of different looks. You throw a bunch of different guys at him. You move the ball and you attack the paint. You know, I don't think you change anything. I think what you do is you say to the Cavaliers, you know, we're going to pretty much do the same exact thing. Stop us. You know, yeah. I mean, they're probably going to tinker some things. You know, obviously Brad Stevens is going to see something that didn't work and probably toss them out. But overall, you know, there's not much you need to change. Obviously, you're not going to shoot that high of a percentage of 50% probably again. But if you're hitting the paint hard and you're being aggressive down there, and then it helps space the floor for your shooters and they're hitting shots. To me, what, like I mentioned, you know, Terry Rozier didn't have a big offensive game tonight, and I don't see that happening again. You know, he's been a steady, you know, 16 to 17 point guy a night for them in these playoffs. So I think for the Celtics, you're just going to stick with what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think you stick what you're doing. You know, if the Cavs start to hit their three, some of these role players step up, you react. But for now, make some minor adjustments, some things to really clean up. But other than that, I think they should be in pretty good shape moving into game two. What are your – you got any predictions for game two?
Yeah, I'm going to say – I'm going to say Celtics win, but LeBron drops a triple-double.
I'm going to go – I think if the Celtics win game two, that I am really leaning towards the Celtics in this series. I think that would be a big boost for them considering they have home court. I believe they haven't lost a game at home this postseason. So I think that it's a must. It's almost a must win for the Cavs in a sense. And I think you don't want to let this young squad get any more confidence. So I'm going to go with Cavs, and I agree with the LeBron triple-double. I think Kevin Love's going to step up and hit some more shots, maybe get some more adjustments. And then one of the shooters is going to step in. One of these random role bench players is going to have a bigger game. Because I really don't think they all can play this bad again. Like, the Cavs played really bad. The Celtics played really good. The Cavs were ice cold from shooting-wise. I don't think that's all going to happen again in Game 2. If it does, then we know a little bit more about these teams than we did before.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I got to try and keep my Cavs in 7, down 3-2 prediction alive. So
I think if that does happen, I mean, that's the most likely scenario. If the Celtics do win Game 2, going down 3-2 is a real possibility, assuming that the Cavs go back to Cleveland, win 2, Celtics win Game 5, at home again, then you're looking at 3-2.
Yeah.
But that wraps it up for today. As always, Corey, thank you for hopping on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Like I mentioned earlier, we'll be doing game recaps for all the Eastern Conference Finals games, Western Conference Finals games, and obviously for the NBA Finals. But thank you, and check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play.
Cheers.